Om Padme Manasi Pratishtita Mano Me Vachi Pratishtitam Aviravirma Edhi Vedasya Ma Anishta Shrutam Me Ma Prahasihi Anenadhite Nahor Pratran Sandadhami Ritam Vadishyami Satyam Vadishyami Tanmam Avatu Tadvaktaram Avatu Avatu Mam Avatu Vaktaram Avatu Vaktaram Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. May we profess only what we feel, and may we carry out in life what we profess. May our words and thoughts help us realize the eternal spiritual truths. May what we hear today ever abide with us. May we meditate day and night on what we shall learn from our teachers today. May we speak the truth. May truth ever protect us. O thou effulgent one, shine forth in our life and mind, and reach us through and through. Om, peace, peace, peace. Let us meditate for a few minutes together. Om Bhadram Karne Bhishunayama Devaha Bhadram Pashe Maksha Bhirya Jatraha Stirairangai Istustu Vagam Sastanu Bihi Yashema Deva Hitanya Dayuhu Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. May we hear with our ears what is auspicious. May we see with our eyes what is auspicious. May we enjoy with strong limbs and body the life allotted to us. Om, peace, peace, peace. Is peace possible during these uncertain times? You know, if there's anything we can ever be certain about, it's the uncertainty of this world. Not only is everything and everyone constantly changing, but they're also unpredictable. Is it possible to have peace in an uncertain, conflicted world? Especially now, 26 years into the 21st century? All of our great spiritual teachers have given the message of peace, blessings, and goodwill to all humanity. Jesus Christ has told us, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Yet just consider what is happening in the world today. Has Christ's message of peace and love lost its power? I don't think so. Is peace possible then? What did Christ mean by saying, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives"? First of all, before we can attempt to answer whether peace in an uncertain world is possible or not, I think we need to ask a few basic questions. What do we mean by peace? What are our expectations? Have we really considered whether peace is a viable option or not? And if it is, how? And if it's not, why not? There are two levels of peace for our consideration. The first is immediate peace connected with the society in which we all live. And the second, peace is the ultimate spiritual peace. Now, this morning, I would like to discuss not just the ultimate transcendent peace, but how that ultimate goal of peace relates to our daily life in society. I feel it's important, especially during these deeply troubling times, to put world events in perspective with our spiritual goal. It helps us to have a more comprehensive view of the madness of violence and destruction that is erupting everywhere. As spiritual seekers, we know that politics is a zero-sum game. That's not our concern here. So, leaving political chaos aside, let's take a brief look at peace as it is ordinarily understood. Generally, there's a lot of talk about peace, but not necessarily a lot of thought about peace, especially objective thought. You know, it has been said that more wars are caused by war-minded people discussing peace measures than peace-minded people discussing war measures. And the preamble to the UNESCO Charter states that wars begin in the minds of men, and it's in the minds of men that the defenses of peace have to be constructed. In a secular context, peace is often tied up with what is expedient for a society. That's generally what we understand by peace. It often means freedom from war, from hostilities, from conflict between individuals or nations. And on the positive side, we can say it's a state of harmony between people, mostly for their enlightened self-interest. Ideally, we Americans like to conceive of a society where people can live their lives in a secure, free, and peaceful environment without all of the threats that we know exist in our society today. Is this kind of peace possible? Yes, theoretically, it should be possible, especially in today's world. Now, that seems like a contradiction in the light of the current situation. But now, more than ever, any time in history, people in various nations or countries are in touch with one another in ways that they never have been before. There's a greater possibility for broadening our sympathies because our intellectual awareness and our appreciation of other cultures has expanded tremendously. Countries are economically interdependent, and their boundaries are dissolving one by one. And as we know, global communication has joined the entire world in a massive network. There is an exchange of knowledge and a wealth of information and solutions out there for just about any mind-bending problem that we can come up with. There is no dearth of brain power. The human mind and spirit are resilient and often, thankfully, compassionate. Now, this was something that quickly caught the attention and admiration of Swami Vivekananda when he came to the West. The infinite possibilities of humanity. Especially in this country, people from every conceivable racial, religious, and cultural background are intermingling daily, working and living together. Even if we just consider the humanitarian aspect, we have a marvelous opportunity to tap into this collective, diverse pool of human intelligence. Further, despite fundamentalists, since the advent of Sri Ramakrishna and Sri Sarada Devi, adherents of various religions are sharing their ideologies. They're showing respect for others and their beliefs and finding their common ground. Many countries, as we know, that were repressed are slowly opening up. Human rights are being demanded in societies where not long ago such rights were vehemently denied. Obviously, the world is changing very radically and rapidly, and it's not all negative. With exposure to different cultures and the exchange of ideas, the world is shrinking. It's becoming increasingly difficult to remain isolated in this such a world. So theoretically, many problems that plague developing countries, such as food shortages, access to medicines, education, technological advancements, shouldn't really exist, because we already have a lot of answers and resources, including money, available. But nevertheless, in many situations, we just can't get it together collectively to share resources and solve these problems peacefully and humanely. Although many good-hearted, noble, unselfish people throughout the world have tried and continue to try to do so. Is peace possible during these uncertain times, practically speaking? Doubtful, very doubtful. On one side, people are working for peace and harmony. And on the other side, the world is full of extremely greedy and often disenfranchised people who lack the incentive to resolve disputed issues harmoniously and fairly. Conflicting self-interest exists across the board. There are always going to be disputes and conflicts. This is the existential nature of this world. Unless all nations and special interest groups decide once and for all to agree to disagree and resolve their difficulties by peaceful, fair means, conflict will undoubtedly be the result. Once this demonic nature is allowed to express itself, it becomes cyclic. It never ends. It only changes in terms of degree and form. As one of our late Swamis said regarding this demonic nature, it always leaves a trail of bitterness and hatred, which goes on smoldering until they burst out again in another conflagration. This is history, and history repeats itself. And yet it is so obvious that this is not the solution. Unless we go to the root of the problem, we can never have peace. The Dalai Lama once remarked, "Our survival, our success, our progress are very much related to others' well-being." Well, this is certainly a thought worth putting into practice. This sounds exactly like Swami Vivekananda when he says, "This is the basis of well-being, social, political, or spiritual, to know that I and my brother are one." If you harm anyone, you're actually sowing the seeds of self-destruction. But few consider these consequences. Again, Swamiji remarked, "Here on earth, we strive to enclose little spaces and exclude outsiders. Our aim should be to wipe out these little enclosures, to widen the boundaries until they're lost sight of. So nationally, internationally, we try peace talks, treaties, summits, marches, vigils, and on it goes. These are all noble, high-minded, humane attempts to counterbalance the tendency to use force in the name of peace. But unfortunately, as we all know, not all people are interested in settling differences peacefully. When the Holy Mother was told about President Woodrow Wilson's 12-point peace plan to end World War I, she said, "Such words just come from the lips. It would have been very good had it come from the heart." As Swami Vivekananda said, civilization has not yet begun. So we end up repeatedly in this no-win situation. We just can't find real peace here, no matter how hard we try. As Christ said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." However, Christ, Swami Vivekananda, and all of our spiritual teachers take this idea of the possibility of having peace in such an uncertain world to another level. In one of Swamiji's Jnana Yoga classes, he said, "The very basis of our being is contradiction. Everywhere we have to move through this tremendous contradiction. Wherever there is good, there must also be evil. Wherever there is life, death must follow as its shadow. And everyone who smiles will have to weep. Nor can this state be remedied. We may verily imagine that there will be a place where there will be only good and no evil. This is impossible in the very nature of things. For the contradiction, the condition will remain the same. So what do we do? What can we do?" In a very homely way, Swamiji says this world is like the dog's curly tail. Can we change this world? Bring peace to this uncertain world? In an absolute sense, no. We can't straighten the tail permanently. But in a relative sense, yes, we can do something. We can straighten it temporarily. So in our daily lives, our teachers seem to be telling us, recognize that problems can never be completely solved here on this relative level. And furthermore, there is no lasting solution to any of them. As I said, history repeats itself. But that's not to say that we shouldn't do anything or make any attempts for peace. But how is the question? We must work. We have to try to bring peace as much as we can, because it's the only way out of this contradictory life. Facing the challenge and working through it. The Bhagavad Gita says, put things in perspective. Be even-minded. Be detached about the results. Don't have unrealistic expectations in an uncertain world. Make a lot of noise running around trying to reform the world. To bring peace to the world, reform yourself. Be peaceful within yourself. As spiritual seekers and as responsible citizens, we have some part to play in this world. That responsibility, of course, is not the same for all socially. But it's there, because we are a part of a larger whole. The welfare of the whole is necessary for my own welfare, as the Dalai Lama wisely said. Conversely, whatever I do affects others. There is an organic unity. We are one. Our destinies are interlinked. So what happens in one part of the world has repercussions in the rest of it, as we are seeing today itself. According to Swamiji, Vedanta philosophy is neither optimistic nor pessimistic about the nature of the world. It considers both views and accepts things as they are. It's realistic. It accepts that the world is by nature bipolar. These positive and negative forces are constantly shifting. So there's never really a state, or can there ever be a state of equilibrium here? And the result is instability, an unsettled state, peacelessness. And this pervades every level of our being. In Vedanta, everything originates within the individual. World, national, state, community, family, individual peace, all begin within one's own mind and heart. All of us, as members of the human family, have a responsibility for the peace of the whole world. So if the world is in turmoil, it's because its inhabitants are in turmoil. How can there be peace in the world when the people who live here are not peaceful within themselves? If you multiply peaceless individuals exponentially, the result is chaos. So the simple advice given is, don't add to the chaos. What's the wonder that the world is in the state that it's in? We have no control over external events, over the government, over other people, or what is going to happen to us or to our loved ones. We live in a very dangerous, unpredictable world. In so many ways, we simply do not know what's going to happen next. According to our spiritual masters, to rise above this precarious situation, we need to stop looking for peace on the outside. We have to have an acceptance of the imbalance of the world. This is the way the world is. It's not going to change. It never has, and it never will. We need to search for peace within. And I think at this point, it's very important always to remember what level of reality we're speaking about. You know, on this Vyavaharika Satya, this relative level where we all live, is a very, very gross form of existence. And as Swami Vivekananda repeatedly says in his complete works, that if you can raise your consciousness to another level of existence, you will perceive a different world. So we should not mix up our standpoints here. That's a very important point to remember. At the same time, we have to integrate our spiritual lives with this chaotic world, which is never going to change. After all, it's our identification with the external world, its events and other people, and our own thoughts that cause inner conflict and anxiety to begin with. The real root of peacelessness is in our own minds, as hard as it may be to accept. So our teachers encourage us to shift our perspective, reevaluate how we think about events in the world. So if we want to have peace in such an unpredictable world, we have to be peaceful within ourselves. Thomas A. Kempis, the author or translator of The Imitation of Christ, said, "Keep yourself at peace first, and then you will be able to bring peace to others." Each one of us who becomes truly peaceful contributes to a peaceful world. Is this possible? Our spiritual masters say not only is it possible, it is the only way for lasting peace. So how do we attain this unshakable peace within ourselves? For one, by practicing restraint. A few weeks ago, we heard about the nature of desire, its fulfillment, and what it ultimately leads to. You know, the whole world is driven by a feeling of void within. It's an incompleteness which stimulates, as Sri Ramakrishna so succinctly put it, lust and greed, the craving for power and personal recognition. Why? Because we mistakenly think through acquisition we will feel satisfied. Somehow we naively hope that by finding something that will not elude our grasp, we will feel happy and peaceful. But as spiritual seekers, we all know too well the bad news. We can't really hold on to anything here. And as we age just a bit, this becomes obvious. There may be a temporary respite when we fulfill our desires. But the urge reasserts itself in various insidious ways, becoming a vicious circle that traps and ultimately strangles us spiritually. Now, this is surely not the outcome that we are seeking. So we are being warned by our teachers that it is desire alone that disrupts our peace. And on the other hand, it's so difficult sometimes to let go of external things, but more importantly, to our own mental attachments. But according to the Chandogya Upanishad, to acquire lasting peace, we have to let go of the small for the big, for the infinite. Yo vai bhuma tat sukham. Nal pe sukham asti bhumaiva sukham. There's no bliss, there's no happiness in the finite. Only in the infinite is there true bliss. The happiness, the peace of this world is very fleeting. The more we recognize this, the more we will have peace of mind. In these complicated times of conflict, we all yearn for some simple advice that we can follow in our lives. Sri Sarada Devi, the Holy Mother, has given us a wonderful advice for attaining peace. After all, it's the Divine Mother who orchestrates this universe. It's all her play. Holy Mother told us, if we want peace, we should not dwell on the defects of others. Rather, we should recognize our own defects. We should learn to make everyone our own. No one is a stranger. Now, this one simple message, how to find peace, contains the whole of Vedanta philosophy. Universalism, the oneness of all beings, a global outlook, all-embracing compassion, and service of the divine in humankind. To begin with, We should ask ourselves, are we really ready to pay the price for inner peace? In The Imitation of Christ, it is said, all men desire peace, but very few desire those things that make for peace. Sri Ramakrishna used to say that two things were necessary to find God or to find peace: yearning and sincerity. Now, this seems almost like an oversimplification. It's so straightforward. But as Thomas A. Kempis said, very few desire those things that make for peace. If we really want lasting peace, we are advised not to see defects everywhere. We either see the world as full of defects and intractable problems, or we see it, strive to see it, as it truly is, as divine in spite of the problems. The choice is ours. This is very practical and comprehensive advice. The natural tendency of our minds is to externalize itself. In the fourth chapter of the Katha Upanishad, it is mentioned that the Lord created the senses in such a way that they go outward and not inward. The rishis of the Upanishads had deep insight into the workings of our mind. Psychologically, we see outside whatever we have within ourselves because we are projecting our minds on whatever we perceive. So the rishis urge truth seekers to seek for peace from the inside out. You know, our emotional responses to whatever is happening around us or to us do not reflect the truth. It's just our reaction to what is happening. If we get emotionally involved in our mental projections and take the reactions to be the fact, that's our basic mistake, according to Vedanta. But it's also our saving grace. And why is that? Because how we respond, what we choose to do about any situation, any problem, any conflict or otherwise, is within our own hands, not anyone else's. If we want peace, we can opt for that. There is no power on earth that can make us peaceless regardless of what is happening in the world. And these days, the world is burning in chaos and conflict. However, the source of peacelessness is within us. And there's no point in blaming other people or situations for the reactions of our own minds. Holy Mother told someone, everything depends on your mind. If there is to be peace, it must begin in the mind. We can't have peace if there's contention within our hearts and minds. When she says that fault finding is the obstruction to peace, she strikes at the very root of the matter. If we focus on what we consider to be defects in everything and everyone around us, it doesn't change anything. It only stains our own minds. There is no ideal situation in life, whether in the family, whether in work, in human relationships, or in the world. There is always some difficulty, as we said in the beginning. Perfection cannot be found at this level of the world. So we are being cautioned not to dwell on negativity in our daily lives, but instead to fill our minds with positive thoughts. What we are inside, that we will see outside. So changing ourselves, our attitudes, what we think about things, our experience is the way to peace. Our spiritual teachers are our unfailing well-wishers. They want us to emphasize our divinity. As the Atman, we are perfect. But as spiritual seekers, we have our limitations. And acknowledging those limitations helps us to overcome them and enables us to be more empathetic and sensitive to others' difficulties. But more importantly, through the practice of introspection, we will find our deeper connection with the divine within ourselves. Turning within doesn't mean shutting out people or neglecting our duties or our family. On the contrary, it brings complete involvement with and dedication to people and work, because we recognize that I and my brother are one. In this way, our heart expands. We become less inclined to see the faults of others because we focus on the divine within them. Feeling this identity with others has deep relevance in today's world. It's based on the non-dual truth, because there is only one reality. But this truth is not readily apparent to us now. We should try to assert the truth, to be willing to take chances and make mistakes and try again. No one ever said that spiritual life was easy. No one ever said that life in general is easy. We have to work at it. If the world is our own, the truth is we are one with the beings within it, in an all-embracing universal brotherhood in the sense that Swami Vivekananda meant, which brings mutual respect, love, and harmony. If we can gradually feel this connection within ourselves, as the Upanishads tell us, there will be no insecurity, no fear, or threat from any other. When Jesus said, "Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid," he was telling us in negative terms the way to eternal peace here in this world. Fear is deep-rooted and plagues everyone. Freedom from fear brings peace. And above all, when we feel that everyone belongs to us, there is no exclusion. Our feelings for others become all-inclusive. While living in the world with this ideal, we can rise above it and enjoy peace by lifting our consciousness to a higher level of understanding through our spiritual practices, and especially through prayer for others and for the world. The Holy Mother's message is none other than Christ's message of finding inner peace and extending that peace and goodwill to all. Om Dyo Shantir Antariksham Shanti Prithivi Shantir Apa Shantihi Oshadhaya Shantir Vanaspataya Shantir Vishwe Deva Shantir Brahma Shantis Sarvam Shantis Shantireva Shantihi Same Shantireti Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Peace is in heaven. Peace is in the sky, on the earth, and in the waters. The herbs, the plants, and the trees are all full of peace. The gods are peaceful. Everything in the universe is pervaded by peace. May this eternal, universal peace enter our soul and being. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto us all.